whatever I call them, would be dismissed. Follow Jordan through this door right here. That's kindergarten through fifth grade. Pray for them as they go. They'll be taking care of you later. You get old and they get big, be nice to them. We're in the book of Hebrews. We're studying the living in the new covenant, and we've talked a lot about that as we've gone through Hebrews. But today I want to talk about a subject that has come up in the passage as we moved along in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 23 to 28. Death, then what? What happens after you die? What does this passage have to say about that? And some other passages that are listed in your bulletin as well. So we need to get running so that you'll finish on time. That's the way it works. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 23 and following through 26. Jesus' first appearance. Now, we've talked a lot about this in the book of Hebrews, so it won't be unfamiliar to you. Therefore, it was necessary for the copies of the things in the heavens to be cleansed with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor was it that he would offer himself often, as the high priest enters the holy place year by year with the blood that is not his own. Otherwise, he would have needed to suffer often since the foundation of the world, but now, once at the consummation of the ages, he has been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And so what we have here is, in these verses, the better sacrifice was made when Jesus Christ died on the cross. The Bible says that he entered into heaven itself, into the place where there was a most holy place. The temple on earth is a picture, a copy, a pattern of the true one in heaven. Now think about that. In heaven, there was a place where Jesus took his blood, his physical blood, and took it and put it on the mercy seat in the true tabernacle in heaven. What would that be like to see that? What would that look like? What would that be like? And then he didn't have to offer himself over and over and over again like the high priest would have to offer up the blood of animals once a year, the Day of Atonement, and blood sacrifices all the time and all the time and all the time. No, he finished it. He did it once. He finished it once and for all. Never again will that happen. No need. No need. It's fascinating to think about. An amazing thing. He has been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So all of us are guilty. I don't even have to know you. If I just met you, I can tell you you're a sinner. And you're terrible, and you're just awful, and you're just like everybody else in the room. We need Christ. We need Jesus to come in and take control of our lives. But he takes our sins and puts it away. Puts it away. The thing that keeps you out of heaven is not your sin. Listen very carefully. It's not your sin, because Jesus died to take care of that. It's your unbelief. It's not trusting in Christ for that sacrifice that he made. It's not surrendering your life to him. That's what keeps you out of heaven. He made the payment. If you don't accept him and the payment that he made, then there's no hope for you. There's not a second choice. There's not another plan. God doesn't have a plan B. As a matter of fact, God doesn't have a plan A. He has a plan J. All right? Let that go. This verse is the one that made me think about what to talk about today, because this is what it talks about. Jesus is sovereign judge. You know, Jesus came the first time to be the Savior. The second time he comes, he's coming as judge. Now, he's coming as Savior because he's always the Savior of those who've surrendered their lives to Christ, but he's coming as judge. You know, a lot of people would say, you know, Jesus, the world is made up of Jesus, not the real Jesus, the one they make up, and he's like, he would never send anybody to hell. He would never judge anybody. He just loves people. Whatever you do, whatever you think, just everybody just get along and everybody just do whatever you want to do. Jesus loves you like that. They haven't read the book of Revelation. Most people haven't read the book of Revelation. Jesus does not show up to tell you your sin's okay. He shows up to tell you that I have paid the price on the cross for your sins, and if you reject me, therefore I must reject you, because holiness is his nature. He can't violate his nature. God can't change. He can't change. We can be changed, but God can't be changed. So he's always holy, always just, always loving, always full of justice and full of mercy at the same time. We don't understand because we're ignorant. So let's be a little educated today. Let's try to step up the game on death and then what? Inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment. Do you know I'm amazed at how little people think about what happens after you die? I mean, it is the thing that lasts the longest. The time you're born until the time you die is a short amount of time. The time you die until eternity doesn't end. Infinity, that's a long time. You want to be ready for that. You may not be ready for Monday morning, but you better be ready for eternity. I mean, I'll tell you, Mondays sometimes, have a week of them sometimes, and you think, what in the world? But hey, I can have a terrible Monday, a terrible Tuesday, a terrible Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I can even have a terrible Sunday. But when I die, I have a wonderful eternity. Right? You may be going through some stuff. I know some of the stuff some of you are going through. You've told me. And I'll tell you this. It's temporary. It's temporary. When you know Jesus, it's temporary. It's just going to go away. And the most amazing thing is going to happen. Oh, my. I think I'll just preach on it right now. There's a judgment coming. But before we get there, I want to talk about, I'm going to go through the whole passage because it's just the next, you know, little bit here. And then I'm going to come back to some verses and encourage you and then scare the heaven into you. I use Christian terminology. I've always wanted to scare the heaven into you. And it will. The truth will set you free. So Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin to those who eagerly await him, those who eagerly await Christ. When he comes back, he's not coming back to talk about your sin and to judge you. Your sin's been judged on the cross if you're a believer in Christ. So let's talk about that. Death, then what? For believers in Christ. Now, we can't cover it all. There's so much in here. I thought about, you know, breaking this up into two messages, but I didn't do it. I might come back and talk about some of the other things we get to in these passages later. But look at 2 Corinthians 5. I love to use this passage at funerals of believers in Christ. And it tells me so much. For if we know, this is the 2 Corinthians 5. For if we know, let me say it again. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed this house, in this house we groan. This house, I'm pointing to this house. This is my house. You like what we've done with it? Don't you say anything. This is my house. If it's torn down, I have a building from God. I have a place. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. He's prepared a place for me. I am so blessed. I have a place. For indeed in this house we groan. And I've heard you. And at our house we do that. When you go to sit down, when you go to get up, do you do that? If you don't, you're not old enough. I'm praying that you get to experience it someday. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. I can't wait to get a new body. Inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. God will keep you. God will preserve you. God will clothe you with a resurrection body. It's coming. For indeed, while we were in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. I just love that terminology. This is mortal. She's going to be swallowed up by life. Woo. I know it's sad somebody dies. I know when you walk by a casket, it's just sorrowful. It's terrible. But if you could only see what's coming, if you could only know what's about to happen. The Bible tells us so much about it. Now listen to this. That mortal being swallowed up by life, verse 5. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God. Now I'm going to pause right there. That's why I highlighted that. God prepared you to die. That's what's happening to you from the time you get born and you start dying. Just saying, you're headed towards death. Some people experience it before they're born. Unborn babies. Some people experience it when they're just a few months old. Some people experience it when they're a year. Do I need to keep going? Some people wait until they're 100 years old and counting. But you don't get to choose that, do you? You didn't get to choose when you were born. You don't get to choose when you die. I mean, there are people that commit suicide, but I will tell you, the choices are not ours. You don't know when you're going to do that. But I'll tell you what, when you're a believer in Christ, the preparation that God has made for you is he's got a purpose. You've got to die to get out of here. You just got to. And don't worry, you will. He prepared us for this very purpose, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. The Holy Spirit of God is a pledge on our souls that he's going to keep his promise. Therefore, being always of good courage and knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Absent from the body is present with the Lord. This says we are absent from the Lord when we're present in the body. So you might walk with God. You might commune with God. You might have a personal relationship with Christ where you pray and you listen to what he has to say from his word and all the things, all of the great joy and feelings. When we were singing a while ago, my soul was just lifted up. I just thought, this is amazing. We're having a great time in here, aren't we? And then all that's beautiful, but that doesn't touch it. Once you close your eyes in death and open your eyes, this is what I believe happens. Luke chapter 16 gives us a little bit of an understanding that those who die in Christ, God sends his angels to carry you into his presence. So you close your eyes in death, and guess what? You get escorted into the presence of God. That's good stuff. We walk by faith, not by sight. You see that? No. You believe that? Yes. Now you see it. You see it by faith. You believe it. We're of good courage, it says. I say and prefer rather to be absent from the body than to be at home with the Lord. We prefer that. If you had sense enough, you would prefer that. You don't prefer that? Well, I pray God gives you sense. Paul says here, we prefer rather to be absent from the body than to be at home with the Lord. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. Is that your ambition? What are your goals in life? What's your ambition? What do you want to accomplish? I want to be pleasing to God. What does that even mean? I want to be pleasing to God. What would please God? Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. It pleases God to keep his commandments. Now, his commandments are not burdensome. If you try it on your own, well, you can't do it. But in his strength, obeying God's where the fun is. It's where the joy is. It's where life is. This is where the world misses out. They're not having fun. They think we're sticks in the mud. All that, I go to church. Wasting Sundays. Only day I have off, and I've got to go. No, I'm not wasting my time. Well, you think you're wasting your time celebrating life in Christ. That's your business. We're not sticks in the mud. We're the ones that are alive and will live for eternity. Oh, boy, this gets good. And then it gets bad. Could be bad. I'll keep reading. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Now, these are believers. These are followers of Christ. You and I have surrendered our lives to Christ. This is talking about us. We want to be pleasing to him. We must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. There's a judgment for believers. Now, it's not whether you're going to go to heaven or hell. That's not the judgment for the believers. The judgment for believers is, how pleasing were you to him in your life? What did you do when he told you to do something, when he prompted you to do something, when he gifted you to do something and moved you and prodded you to do it and you didn't do it? There's a judgment for that. If you did do it, there's a judgment for that. There's a judgment. God's judgment is clear. God's judgment is right. He never messes up. You know, judges today, they get things mixed up. Oh, but God doesn't do that. So when he judges you, he'll be completely right. So quit worrying about what everybody else thinks. Oh, what are they going to think of me if I do that? Oh, what do they think of me if I say that? Oh, what do you think? What are you doing? What does God think? Leave the rest of them behind. It's what God thinks that matters. What does he? Pastor, I wish I knew what he thought. You've been paying attention? I do this every week. What do you think I'm doing? I'm showing you from God's word what God wants from you, what God's provided for you. And you can open up the book yourself and read the Bible and find for yourself every day of your life, what is it that pleases God? I'll tell you what pleases God. For you to recognize who he is. For you to talk to him just because you love him. For you to serve him because you love him. For you to do things for other people in his name. That's how you love God. God doesn't need anything. Did you know that? He doesn't need anything, but the people need all kinds of things. And when you help other people in the name of Christ, you're doing that for him. A cup of cold water in the name, you're doing it to him. See? It's for him. And you do these things because you want to, not because you're pushed to, not because you're made to, kicking and screaming into it. No, no, no. You're just out of a heart of love. You just want to do what God wants you to do. That's where the joy is. And there's a judgment there. I can't go into the passage, any other passages about this, because I've got to finish. Stay tuned later. We'll talk about those things. And there's a lot to talk about. Now, what is that judgment seat of Christ like? What is that about? Stay tuned. That's a commercial for later sermons. Death, then, what for unbelievers? This is the most concerning part. The book of Revelation, chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he threw him into the abyss and shut it and sealed it over him so that he would not deceive the nations any longer until the 1,000 years were completed. After these things, he must be released for a short time. Then I saw thrones and they that sat on them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony of Jesus, because of the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received the mark on their forehead and on their hand, and they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. There are a lot of things in here we could talk about, but just stay focused. Death, then what for unbelievers? The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were completed. This is the first resurrection. That is, that first resurrection are for those who were just talked about, who had a testimony, they loved Christ, they were beheaded for their knowing Christ. They were, during the time what we call the tribulation period on this earth, they were beheaded for believing in Christ and having a testimony for loving Christ. And so that's them. That's the first resurrection. It's an interesting terminology. The first resurrection. Blessed and holy is the one who has part in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power. First death is when you die physically. Second death is when you die spiritually, or you stay dead spiritually. You're born dead, sin nature, spiritually you're dead to God. And if you stay that way, you stay dead. And it's the second death. It's a terrible thing. But they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. This is what we call the millennium. I believe in a literal millennium, that Christ will reign on this earth a literal 1,000 years. Chapter 20 tells me that, and I believe it. Just thought I'd say. When the 1,000 years are completed, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together for war. The number of them is like the sand of the seashore. Gog is like the Antichrist, the leader. Magog is his army. These are terms that are used, you think, and you find in the book of Ezekiel, that Antichrist, the one who takes the place of Christ and who is opposed to Christ, that Antichrist, you can read about it, and probably did in Sunday school in one class I know of, in 2 Thessalonians, I believe. And so that's his army. You can read about it. Boy, I don't want to talk about that right now. But we're not going to, because we're staying focused. And they came up on the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And fire came down from heaven and devoured them. That's a really short battle. Get all your army together, Gog and Magog, Antichrist, and all those who hate God. Just get them all together. Got them all together yet? You're fired. What? What kind of battle was that? Not a battle at all. Anytime you oppose God, you lose. Anytime you fight God, he wins. He sometimes will delay it, but boy, when he doesn't, just like that, you're gone. It's incredible, incredible. So now look what happens here. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Eternal, conscious punishment for the devil, for the false prophet, the beast. Have you read a book of Revelation? Does it confuse you? I try to take complicated things and make it simple. So if we go through some of that, maybe I'll help out a little bit, because I have to help me out. But it does get a little complicated. But I want you to understand something. The devil always imitates. He always imitates God. He can't come up with anything on his own. He has to imitate what God has done. And he has an unholy trinity there. There's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's God. Now you have the beast, the false prophet, and the devil. It's a false trinity. Tormented day and night forever and ever. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. Imagine that. Here is God sitting on the throne to judge. Earth and heaven flee away. Something big is about to happen. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books, according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. That's what happens to unbelievers. Those whose names are not found written in the book of life, they experience the second death. You see, I learned a lot of my theology growing up from cartoons, because we didn't go to church. Some of you got your theology from cartoons even though you went to church. You know, there's the devil, he's in charge of hell, and he's after you, and he's going to take you and going to get you and all that. Oh, please. If you have any understanding, please understand this. Satan is being judged by God and cast into the lake of fire. He's not in charge of hell. He is in hell. Is judged by God. The torment, the agony, all the things that you experience is not Satan punishing you. It's God and his justice punishing you, because you've rejected Jesus Christ. So, Pastor, I don't understand that. I don't know if I want to worship a God that would do that. That's your business. But let me tell you God's business. Without Christ, that's where you end up. I can't change the story because I like you. And I don't want to stand here and pretend that you or I, either one, are better than God. Do Do you see what happens in the conversation I just had with you without you talking? We came to a place where we thought, how could God do that? Why would God do that? And I want you to know, sometimes when we talk like that, we're saying, I'm better than God. I wouldn't do that to people. Well, you don't have sense. God gave a gnat. If you think that, you don't have sense. God gave a gnat. I don't mean to pick on gnats. You don't understand. You can't possibly understand God. I mean, who can? God in all of His love and in all of His mercy and all of His justice and all of who He is, His very nature, cries out, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And you say, I don't want anything to do with you. I want to run my own life. I don't want any God over me. Well, have at it for eternity. You will have that. Everybody in hell gets exactly what they wanted. No God. No God in my life. Really? So this is a warning. This is a warning from God's Word. Now, I've done a study, and I can't do this now because it will take too long. Maybe one Sunday night I'll just take this about the Book of Life. And in my study, I've discovered, and I think this is right. When I say I think it's right, it could be wrong, but I don't think so. Those of you who've studied the Book of Life, well, now your ears just perked up. Because your name needs to be in this book of life in order for you to have eternal life in Christ. You need to have your name in this book. So, Pastor, how do I get my name in that book? I want my name in that book. I want to tell you something that I think is true. Your name is in the book right now. In the study that I made about the book of life, I think I've discovered, as I've compared all the passages and what they're saying and all of the things about the book of life, I've discovered this. You can take my word for it if you want to, or you can study it yourself either way, but I want to tell you what I think. Your name is in that book until you die physically. If you've rejected Christ, your name is erased from that book. That's the second death. You're cast into the lake of fire, the judgment. So your name is in the book. Your name is in the book until you die. So if you've got breath, you're breathing, you're alive, there's hope for you. You can surrender your life to Christ. And I act like I'm trying to convince you to do something that's really going to be painful and terrible. Surrender your life to Christ. You couldn't do anything better. You couldn't have a better life than knowing Jesus. It doesn't get any better. I don't know, I'm not trying to be a salesman, I'm just trying to tell you a testimony of my life in Christ is, you don't want to miss this. You don't want to miss this. This is where life is. Knowing Jesus is where life is. This is how I get through days. Well, I don't know if I can make it through days. Jesus helps me through. This is where I'm walking on top of the clouds sometimes because Jesus takes me there. I'm telling you. It's God's mercy and His grace and His love towards you. You get to reign with Christ for eternity. The whole place is yours. You've been trying to gather things while you're on this earth and hold them, put them in the storage building and get another storage building and put another, all that stuff. Don't mess with my stuff. And you die. Then what? No, no, no. I sent my stuff ahead. When I get there, so that's what I want right there. I've got a place, a building made from God. What does it look like? I don't know. I hear songs about it. If you've heard many songs about it. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. You ever heard that song? Stuck with me. I know it's probably not exactly like that. Of course it's not exactly like that. We're just trying to sing about it. Why do we sing about it? Because we're going there. We're going there. You're happy about it. Can't wait. Now, some of you are like, oh, I'm not there, Pastor. I'm not there. I don't know. I just don't know what's going to happen with me. I just told you. If your name's not in the book, you're cast into the lake of fire. It is not the thing I like to talk about, but it's the thing I must talk about. And the great thing about it is, you don't have to go. You can know Christ. And I mean really know Him. Oh, we're absent from the Lord, right now in these bodies, these tents that are groaning and all of that, but there's coming a time we're going to be released from these bodies. We're going to be in the presence of God. Can't wait. Can't wait. Now, the most important thing that happens in a service like this happens right now. And you know, I used to be concerned about this. I'll tell you what I used to be concerned about. I used to be, I get to this point, I'm going to ask people to make commitments to Christ and see where you are with the Lord, and I want to make sure that you're going to heaven. I want to make sure you're saved. Oh, I'm all about that. You know I am. I used to think, there's going to be a distraction. Somebody's going to scream. Somebody's going to pinch a baby. Something's going to happen. You know, I've gotten to the point in my life, I don't care about that anymore. Because I found out, I discovered something. If I'm on my way to hell, and you tell me how not to go there, and I want to know Jesus, there's not a distraction that's going to stop me. If a distraction can keep you from coming to Christ, you didn't want to begin with. I know what I'm talking about. If you're at the point where you know you need Christ, that's tremendous. Ask Him to come into your life. We're going to pray, and just now we're going to pray, and you ask Him to come into your life. I'm telling you, the greatest decision you could ever make. Fit for heaven, ready to go. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You, Lord, for the truth of Your Word that tells us, Lord, that we can have eternal life in You. Thank You that You loved us so much. You gave Your Son for us. Thank You, Lord, that You have worked in our hearts to bring us to this point. And if someone is here today, someone listening to my voice and saying, you know, I want to know for sure that I know God and I know Christ, that I'm on my way to heaven. I want to know that. This is just between you and God. If that's you, you just talk to Him. Tell Him. Say, Jesus, I believe that You died on the cross to pay for my sins. And Jesus, I believe that You rose from the dead that I could be made right with God. Thank You for dying for me. Thank You for offering me eternal life. Today, Jesus, I surrender my life to You. Ask You to come in and forgive me. Be my Lord and my Savior. All that I am, I give to You. And I receive You today as my Lord and Savior. And if that's your prayer, that's your commitment to Christ today, and there you are, being fit for heaven by God Himself, and nothing can change that. And for the rest of us who are here today praying, what is it God would want you to do that would be pleasing to Him? How many people are you going to reach with the good news of Christ so that they'll know Jesus? How many things are you going to do today to help people who need assistance? In the name of Jesus, make that commitment to Christ today. In Jesus, we ask all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. If you made a commitment to Christ today in your prayers, I'd ask you to come forward in this service and let me know that. If you got some other commitment in your life today, if you want to come forward and just come to the altar, we call this the altar area, just come here to pray for this nation. 248 years. I don't know how many more years it's going to last if we keep it like it's going. Pray for our nation. Whatever God leads you to do, you come as God would lead you. Stand together.